Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I was wondering, who or what is responsible for the integrity of the philosophy in the five Parliament albums that matter? From Mothership Connection through Trumpipulation. When I first heard Mothership Connection, it was the sound of the synthesizer that got my attention. It was electronic, it was funky, it was unnatural. And being the kind of person I was in the crystal radios and electronics and this such, as soon as I heard it, then I heard the rhythm, I was through. I got it. You know, that was it. I took the 8-track home that same day from when I heard it at 421 West Dewey, Youngstown House, sitting at that dining room table, and I studied the lyrics. My mother had a Brother typewriter, electric typewriter. I typed out the lyrics to P-Funk. I listened to the music. The music had me. But I also, it was very important for the philosophy or for what was being said or the intention of the music. Throughout my Parliament career of study and worship of the philosophy of Pete Funk and my interpretation of it, let me just say that and for one time as a disclaimer or as a overview, this is just my interpretation. This is just my subjective opinion and experience of this, of the P-Funk philosophy and the music and such. So studying it from Mothership Connection on through, what I really remember being really attracted to was it wasn't all about love. In fact, I don't remember hearing the word love in damn near any Parliament song other than Getting to Know You, or Getting to Know You, where he says, I love you. Sure, it could be assumed. Sure, it could be whatever the word is when you intimate it or whatever. I can't think of the word right now. I forget the word. I don't want to think about it. It could be interpreted that way. It could be slyly reworded to portray certain things. But it wasn't that overt floaters, always and forever type, I love you, drippy love stuff. That part grabbed me. For me, the philosophy has always been platonic. It's always been platonic. It's not about being a victim. It's not about being, I was going to say, a victor or victorious. It hints of struggle. It may be some of the funkadelic stuff. Maybe not so much the Parliament stuff. But to go beyond that right now, the integrity of it. What I like to say is, I don't remember. That's not really what I want to say. But what I want to say is, there's no contradiction in those five records. I think it's five records from Mothership to Trumpipulation. And no, I don't count Up for the Downstroke or Chocolate City. Because there's no, I don't remember any line that contradicts itself, where it says, where one thing it says, I am this, and the next thing it says, I am that. Or I don't remember any conflicting lyric. And I've often wondered, who maintained that consistency? What or who maintained that consistency through all this? The way I look at it, it's supposed to be a bunch of Negroes running around half naked, eating sheets of acid, and doing all kinds of crazy drugs. But yet, the musical integrity and the musical integrity remain consistent, but more so the philosophy. Who, number one, thought of it? Who policed it? Who made sure it didn't go this way or that way? Too much that or this? Because that philosophy fit what Jeffrey wanted to be back then. Jeffrey didn't want to be float on, I love you, blah, 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 I want to do something freaky to you. That wasn't Jeffrey. No. I wanted to be that character with his tongue out, putting up the funk sign, ready to party and dance. And just leave it at that. It wasn't about race for me. It wasn't about oppression or racism. It wasn't about brutality or abuse or being misused or disenfranchised. Because quite frankly, I never had that in my life. I didn't grow up like that. Hell, I went to Catholic school. I grew up in middle class. I went on vacations every summer. It wasn't about race, so none of that political turmoil that some of the people in the hood or in poverty places, impoverished areas, but disenfranchised or, you know, ghettos or whatever. The Funkadelic records hinted at that, but even in a way, the Funkadelic records hinted at it. It wasn't as a sense of a victim. It wasn't like being a victim. It almost celebrated it. It almost celebrated the stereotypical ghetto tendencies of people in the hood. Now, people in the hood did things or this or that. Maybe the drugs, the drinking, you know, the sexualities, relationships, this to that. Funkadelic kind of dwelled on that a little. Parliament, not so much. In fact, let's Parliament Mothership Connection to me obviously was about funk being brought to a funkless planet. Purely platonic. Didn't say anything about white or black. It's not like saying the oppressor man or this. It hinted at funk and funklessness. It didn't put a label on it or on any of the participants. And even though overall it hit as black people in space or an alien coming back and he being black, that wasn't overtly put on. That isn't overtly put into philosophy or the lyric or the record. I think that kind of came later, if I could say that. The fact that it was a black thing in black space may have came, black person in outer, black people in outer space or whatever, an alien come back and he black. Now, if anything, it'd be alien came to Earth, to the planet, and he was all cool and funky, had the funk. And maybe the establishment, which could be, you know, the stereotypical white 1950s, 1960s, you know, platonic, straight white familyhood, whatever. You know, when the mothership does come down and the alien finally come back, he's like, hey, it's one of us. It's a dude in the pimp coat, you know, from the hood. That kind of style or personation, whatever, is what is out there that came back to us. Maybe something that's been put down, you know, by mainstream society comes back as the mothership is something that may or may not be greater than, you know, what's here on earth, or blah, 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 something like that. But see, all that, I feel, came later. You don't, it's not, that's not written in the record. That's, it's shown on the album cover. The picture is there, but it's not really, it didn't need a lyric. It didn't need lyrics. Elude word was the word I was looking for. Elude. It really doesn't. I mean, in my mind, that's the brother. It's like, we want the funk. It's, we want the funk. It's not black or white. It's nothing. It's just, we want the funk. We just want to be out there. We want to have a good time. Mothership comes, swing down Sweet Chariot, give the people what they want, and they want it all the time. Not the Thumbosaurus people. I'm Funky UFO, obviously. P-Funk. Good evening, you're on Tip Dish Radio. There's nothing wrong. Take control, bring you to the show. We'll return to you as soon as you're grooving. Make my funk the P-Funk. That pretty much, that's what that record was about. All right, what's the next one? I don't know what the next one is, but I'm going to go. Motor Booty Affair. Again, pretty much platonic. You know, they talk, there's some things that are said in Deep where they talk about their problem complexion, and they allude to a few things in the under lyrics if you listen closely in Deep and Motor Booty Affair, and it kind of points in that direction, but it doesn't, it definitely does not overtly do it like some of the soul music and some of the radical, almost political music of that time. Flashlight, it was about, no, not Flashlight, it's not about Motor Booty. We on Motor Booty. All right, Motor Booty Affair. It was Motor Booty Affair, Rumble Steel Skin. It was about an internal struggle between Star Child and Sir Nose. And, okay, maybe Funkatelli came before this record. Okay, but it was about a struggle between Sir Nose and Star Child, the funky people, the funk, and the funk nemesis. So it was devoid of funk. But then again, both the characters were black, and it wasn't about race. It wasn't about them against us. It really was, and that, to me, that is just beautiful. It almost brings tears to my eyes right now. The way everything is so politicized and so racist now. You can't even turn on your goddamn Facebook about everything about being black. Black coaches, black this, first black that, Caitlin Clark, white, black. Everything is just so skewed towards racism. And me growing up, it wasn't a factor. It just wasn't a factor for me. I didn't have to go through it. I saw it on TV maybe, but it didn't affect me. It didn't affect my football cards or how I rode my bike up and down the street. And so that, even that struggle was black. It really, since it was black on black, or I think what I said was, I think I read a long time ago in a magazine that the universe that Parliament created, and I think they said that George Clinton created back then, I think they said that the universe that George Clinton created was neither black nor white. It was a universe where white people didn't matter, or were just all black. So the race thing just didn't matter. Cause, and I will say, for a long time, I thought Sir Nose as being, you know, a stiff, uptight white man, or stiff, uptight white culture that didn't want to dance. And it wasn't until later that I realized Sir Nose was too cool to dance Negro up against the wall. Didn't want to sweat. Didn't want to get his hair wet. You know, too clean, too cool to get down and be funky. And I was the guy being funky, getting sweaty, tongue out, just being that. You know, and that's the person I wanted to be. In fact, when I saw that character, I was like, oh my God, that's it. That's it. And through my childhood and teenage years, that was my, do I want to say role model? Do I want to say that was my role model? That P-Funky character. So, it really wasn't about black or white or racism. Or you can say he alluded to it. Everybody knew he was talking. You can say everybody knew he was talking about everything about this. Oh, it was obvious that it was this. It was obvious. No. That was a Motor Beauty Fair. One of those funky things. I just heard about a dancing underwater, not getting wet, where you can just dance through stuff with rhythm and the magic of the rhythm. With the rhythm it takes to dance through what we have to live through, you can dance in the water and not get wet. Psycho off of Disco Bay, the Biowalk of Duluth. I'll break it down for you again. Psycho is mine. Alpha's first. Get your mind together first. Disco Beta, get your dance second. Bio Aqua in the bio, in the body water dance. Body bio, aqua water, water dance. Duloop, Duloop is the dance. Psycho Alpha, mine first. Disco Beta, dance second. Bio Aqua, Bio Aqua Duloop, body water dance. You get yourself together like that. See, it was about that. And it really wasn't about anything too ultra political. It was about us doing for us, if I want to push it that way. And that's where I'm at today, right now. I'm like, I don't give a damn what the white man do. And that's kind of my sentiment even to this day. I don't care about what the white man do or racism or this or that. At least not in these, in the times I grew up. Maybe 60, 70 years ago, it made a difference. And it definitely made a difference to my parents. But I'm like beyond that. You know, to me, it's not about that. It's about what we need to do for us. If you want to make it a black thing and black people this, black people that. It's like we need to get our shit together before we start pointing fingers about what anybody else do. And in a way, and to me, that philosophy of maybe Motor Booty Affair was all about that. It wasn't about any external sources. It was about us dealing with us. And I love that. One of those funky things, I just heard it's gonna be, do you wanna get off? It's about going to that party. That party where everybody come together and dancing, rhythm, or the music, the magic rhythm, and what we can dance through, and it's gonna help us get over. Motor Booty Affair, it was the commentary for that dance, that party. Deep was just about maybe more the, Deep may have gotten a little bit into some of the social interactions or dysfunctions, not dysfunctions or conflicts or whatever. One of those funky things, Rumble Steel Skin, about the struggle between Sir Nose and Star Child, Uncle Boogie. You're a fish, I'm a water sign. You're a fish, I'm a water sign. It may be quote unquote a love song, but it's not. It's not. And I love that. I absolutely love that song. I love that song. And I love the fact that it may be a love song, but it ain't. It's deeper than a love song. Love, what's love got to do with it? I was young. I had love. You know, there was little girls and stuff that I had, and love meant this to me, love meant that. Love definitely had an effect on me. It wasn't like I wasn't affected by love. Love changed my metabolism and all that. But it wasn't something that was my primary focus. It was the cherry on top of it. It wasn't even a dessert. It was the cherry on top of the dessert. Everything else came first, in a way. But you know when you're young, and love just girls, and that having that special person. You know, I got caught up in that. I got caught up in that years ago. Years ago. So, but you're a fish, I'm a water sign. Sure, it alludes to having that special someone or having that special person, but it didn't right out say, I can't live without you, or, oh, I need you, or this or that, or, oh my God, you know, you're the best. I can't go on without you. And to me, even back then, and even to this day, there's nothing. There's nothing Jerry Scott Mitchell feels that way about. Nothing is better than me. I come first, by far. And for me to even allude, well, maybe when I got caught up in that love feeling and in the warmth and comfort, not warmth and comfort, but in the euphoria of love, you know, the other person, what they did or didn't do did matter to me and affected me, and I didn't like it. I stopped it. I remember, I can tell you that story later. I remember I stopped. I said, I don't want to do this no more. We ain't gonna get, we don't wanna be dependent on anybody else for our happiness. We're gonna stop that. So that's where I'm coming from. So you're a fish, let's go down. I wanna be on the seaside of love and you're ish. And I'm, see, and I think it says, I wanna be on the seaside of loving you, thee, or something like that. It's not, I love you. And that makes a big difference to me. That makes a big difference to me. All right, let's go to Funkadelicy. Funkadelicy, I believe, is the introduction to Sir Nose, the character, who, if you look on one of the Parlette records, one of the older Parlette records, there's a teeny weeny picture of Sir Nose up in the corner. Teeny weeny, like little drawing of Sir Nose up in the corner on one of the Parlette records. I forget which one. It's probably Play Me or Trade Me, I think. It's probably Play Me or Trade Me. It's definitely not Pleasure Principle. And it's definitely not Invasion. So I think it's that one, the one I said. Play Me or Trade Me. Okay, so this introduction, Sir Nose, and the struggle between, quote unquote, you know, a classic struggle between good and evil. Classic struggle between, you know, that's been done before. If you ask me, it's fairly platonic. The word platonic means a lot to me, as you could probably tell. It's fairly platonic. It was on that record. Sir Nose, Devoid of Funk. In fact, that's when Sir Nose comes up. That's Sir Nose's record. Well, yeah, that's Sir Nose's record, because he comes up and he does the prelude. Sir Nose, Devoid of, I am Sir Nose, Devoid of Funk. I will never dance. And he tells his story. Humdrum, Tully, Humdrum, Old Star Child, I will never dance. And all that. Then Sir Nose, after that, comes, what comes on after Sir Nose? I forget what song. I know Flashlight is on that. Funkadelicy comes on that. Funkadelicy is Star Child's monologue. Yo, this is Moody Control. And there's some philosophical, sociological, well, maybe not sociological, there's some statements in there that, again, are platonic in general, but are kind of deep. Mind your wants, because there's someone that wants your mind. Funk is a nonprofit organization. Take me lightly, like a whoopee with a headache. Jump up in the air, stay there till I tell you to come down. There's little things like that. Wisdom, little wise quotes that fit, again, with my mentality and my way of thinking, of not being overt and too drastic and dramatic and just so disgustingly biased, or not biased, but victimized, and it wasn't that. It was, you know, take care of your own. You know, we're gonna party through it. And one of the main things P-Funk was, we're gonna get through it. We're gonna party through it. We're gonna dance to it. If you can't dance to it, don't do it. And again, all these records have a consistent philosophy. They don't jump from one thing to the other. Let me see, Funkadelicy was on there. Placebo Syndrome. That's all my syndrome lately. And that's again about Sir Nose. Probably Sir Nose versus Star Child, funk against non-funk. And maybe the overall mainstream unfunkiness of the mainstream. And how funk, because you remember, because back then funk was a bad word. Literally. I wasn't allowed to say funk. I get here, we want the funk on the radio. We ride in the car. I'm riding in the car with my mother. We want the funk that's on the plane and on the radio, and I ain't allowed to say funk. And they know I love Parliament. They already knew by then. Because I already said, my song come on the radio. And I wasn't even allowed to say it. And they saying it on the radio. So that, back then, it was a bad word. It really wasn't introduced into the mainstream. It wasn't accepted the way it was. Not even among black people. Black people didn't really accept it until Flashlights and Knee Deeps and all that. I mean, a lot of the old heads listen to Funkadelic. But again, that ain't funk. Funkadelic is something else. Funkadelic may be P-Funk, but it ain't funk. Okay? I just said something I'll probably have to explain to myself later. Funkadelic may be P-Funk, but it ain't funk. Anyway, because who says a funk band can't play jazz music? Who says a funk band can't play blues? I made that part up. But You know what I mean? So, that's placebo syndrome. There's so much syndrome right there. And ups and downs. And your ups and downs is just, you don't talk about life. Your ups and downs, platonic. Not blaming nobody. Not saying this is the fault. I'm not saying I'm a victim. It's just a generic, wholesome mantra or statement. What else is on that record? Let me see. Funkadelic-y. Flashlights on that record. Well, I forget what's on the record. I should pull up a thing. What's on Funkadelic-y? Bob Gunn. I'm going to shoot him with the Bob Gunn. That's again, Sir Knows. And about the struggle. I'm going to shoot him with the Bob Gunn. Flashlight, of course. I'm a damn. Flashlight. That's it. When Sir Knows dances. Where Star Child wins, Sir Knows dances. Oh, it's so good. It feels so good. It feels so good. Oh, that's Aqua Boogie. It feels so good. No, so because Aqua Boogie came after Funkadelic. So Sir Knows, oh, it's so good. Oh, so, that's when he danced. Ah, and you can hear him dancing. Because he got shot with the Bob Gun in the middle of Flashlight. That's in the song, in the live version. When Carlos gets shot with the Bob Gun, he started doing all his stomach moves and dancing, and all the women start going crazy and shit, pushing, trying to get to the front. I was like, you better back up. And then I just got to the point where I was like, I just kind of moved to the side, let them get up there and get their little touches or whatever, and I moved back. I was like, man, I used to tell them, I told Mr. McMurray, man, they be going crazy for your ass out there. I'm sure you see it. I'm sure you see it. And he used to get up on top of the speakers. Remember, he get up on top of the speakers and stuff. And that Negro, I gave him my license plate. I gave him my P-51 license plate years ago, decades ago. He never gave it back. He said it was in a bin. He said he had it in one of his storage bins. He never had to go buy another one. I had to get another one from the DMV. That's when I learned, don't give them Negroes nothing. But then I learned that in a, just a, you know, lesson learned way. No hatred, no meanness. Oh, that's your fault. You should have known better. Next time you know. Got me. You know, he gave it to him. He never gave me my plate back. I miss him being out there. He was cool. Missing me there, Carlos. So no, he's really cool. He's really, really cool dude. Really cool dude. Anyway. When Sir Knows got the Bob Gun, and the Bob, the whole idea of the Bob Gun, shoot them with the Bob Gun. Turn me loose. We shall overcome. We're going to shoot them with the Bob Gun. He said, talking about, turn me loose. Let me be free. And in a way that can allude to a bunch of political things that have been going on at the time, and maybe even now. But it's not overt, if anything. All right, Glory Allah Stupid. Glory Allah Stupid. Again, Sir Knows has seems to be winning a lot of these albums. Pin the Tail on the Funky. And I'll Make a Jackass Out of the Funk. Then it's the Thief in the Black Hole. He dances. I Am the Funkiest. I Am the Funkiest. Did I, Sir Knows, devoid of funk, declare I Am the Funkiest? That's Thief in the Black Hole. Glory Hall is Stupid. Glory Hall is Stupid's on there. That's Star Child's monologue. Glory Hall is Stupid, pin the tail. A tail where the nose wins in the end. They flat out say it. A tail where the nose wins in the end. That's Glory Hall is Stupid. Sizzling mean. Can we get you high? Can we make your temperature rise? May we bang you. May we bang you. And Color Me Funky. Oh my God, Color Me Funky. Color Me Funky. Oh my God. Color Me Funky. Yeah. Is the way you pictured me colored by the way you've been treated in a situation that comes to mind. Though we need the funk. Got to have the funk. Calling Star Child. And he started doing that radio voice. I need to revisit all these records. I don't listen to the music. I may have to revisit it. Now, again, that Glory Hallow Stupid, I want to definitely pick that up and read the liner notes on that one. I definitely want to reread that, revisit that one. I definitely want to do that. What else is on there? May We Bang You, Big Bang Theory. Ding, ding, ding. Glory Hallow Stupid. Quartz, Leons, Red Giants, White Dwarfs, Big Bang. There are 8 billion tails in the naked universe. This is just one of them. But they all have black holes, a creative nuisance, with the reckoning of stupidity as a positive force in a world of invariable logic and percussionate beings that protects saints, detects babies and admitted fools. That's brilliant. That's fucking brilliant. Who wrote that shit? Who? Who's responsible for that? Okay, I'll say it. I believe it's some white people. I believe it was some geeky white people somewhere. Either geeky white people or some hippies somewhere around there. You know, it's almost like some philosophical brain scientists. But they always say, everybody's always say, and Trumpibulation. Trumpibulation. Okay, and they always say, and Mr. Clinton read. Everybody said, Mr. Clinton should always be reading everything. And, you know, he's smart. I mean, he obviously smart. You can tell he's smart because he's like 80,000 years old now and still speaks with such clarity. I mean, that's just right there. That's just a witness to something that had to be going on for years and years and years. The fact that he's this old, been through all he's been through, all the quote-unquote drugs he may have taken. In fact, quote-unquote drugs I know he has taken because I was there firsthand one night to actually see it and sit in it and get it all over my goddamn clothes. And so after he's been through all that, even now, he speaks with such a clarity and we remember and pull stuff back from like, oh yeah, 1950, me and Cindy Bones and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, that's pre-mother ship, we don't care. That's pre-Bootsy and mothership connection, we don't care. No, I'm joking. Kinda. But so like that whole, I keep thinking who? And I swear, I think it might be the record labels, maybe Casablanca, whoever the Parliament Records was on, may have been policing the philosophy. I mean, but, you know, if it was Mr. Clinton and them and it was Parliament and all them doing that, you know, more credit. I want it to be, in fact. But that's how integral, if that's the word, that's how consistent I think the philosophy is. That it had to be seemed like it was overseen by a committee. And that not just one person could have handled that. Or unless one person had complete control of every syllable or letter that went on the album covers or what was said on the records. And I'm thinking, even if Mr. Clinton had that, that's still a tall task. That takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of work for somebody who was supposedly eating sheets of acid for breakfast. And Trumpibulation. Trumpibulation came out when I went to DeVry after I graduated from high school. That was the record that I took after high school to Columbus, Ohio with me. Pika Groove, very touching. Very, very touching song to me. In fact, one time, me and Mr. Carey was playing Name That Funk Song. You know me. We just sitting in his living room, and you know I got balls. Not balls, but you know it's all about Jeffrey. I mean, I could be sitting there with Mr. Clinton himself. I could be sitting in heaven with Jesus himself. I'm gonna question him on the Bible. I'm gonna say, well, what? I could be sitting there with God himself. I'm gonna say, well, what does this mean? This don't make no sense. But so we just going back and forth, you know, kind of matching P-Funk wits, even though you know. He was probably, you know, treating me with kid's gloves. And we came up with Pika Groove. I was like, Pika Groove? Because we was like naming stuff. And I was like, yes, he can, you know, who can, oh, I remember that one. And I went, Pika Groove? And I was like, ah, because we were talking about Trumpibulation was a good record. And I said, Pika Groove. He said, Pika Groove? He was like, I was on that record. He started singing, we can peak. I almost cried. I almost fainted and cried and died. That record was so close to me during college coming up. That, you know how you're sitting there on those nights or whatever. You had a some kind of day, probably got a little, you know, nice weed high or whatever. You listen to it, you just let that music take you to that place, or, you know, give you some rejuvenation or some kind of, you know, uplift or motivation or whatever. And it was that intimate. Higa Groove was that intimate to me. And he gonna sit there. And he gonna sit there and say, I was on that record, and then sing it. And as soon as he sing it, I was like, I remember hearing him on the record and everything. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. That was a good one. That was a good one. That was a good one. But Pico Groove was on that record. Tribulation. Turnos was on that record. Tribulation. Tribulation. New rules on me. I forget the words of that, but I didn't listen to it. But I think that was Tribulation. And of course, Turnos wins. In the end, they say everybody funky and be like, you like that record? That's Cerno's record. Cerno's won. I was like, I still like it. And that whole thing, again, not too political, not overtly political. It's a struggle. It's definitely a message, but it ain't no overt. Nobody's a victim. It's not about I love you, I love you, love, 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 or nothing like that. It's just good, dare I say, music or good writing or good whatever it is. Okay, I'm getting distracted now. But anyway, I think I made my point. Them Parliament records. Oh, the Clones of Dr. Funkenstein? Oh my God, I forgot the Clones of Dr. Funkenstein. So we the clones were designed, children production. We're going to blow the car. We love to funky Funkenstein. That's almost a worship of the funk leader, not the Funkenstein, the figurehead. That's almost a worship of that. And what was on it? Getting to Know You was the only song that he says, I love you. Everything is on the one. Talk about the music. Everything is on the one. And it, not just the one on the music, but on the one. Keep everything on the one. Life political, not politically, but life, sociology, whatever, however you want to call it. What else is there? Clones on the Funkenstein, gaming on you, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm tired of getting distracted. Anyway, you get the point. My name is Jeffrey. Swing on y'all two times. For me, for the funk, for that P-Funk philosophy. For that lovely, 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 lovely P-Funk philosophy that I am very proud to wear on my back and hold to my heart, because it iterates things almost precisely the way I would have and the way I would expect it to be relayed, considering it would have to be also have mass appeal. It resonated with me since I was a teenager, and I still carry it to this day. And for every elementary particle that's ever existed, any atom in this or in the universe ever was, is, or will be. Totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all. On the one. Ooh. Ooh, I might be able to, I might like that. Hypothesis of all. As one, all on the one. Anyway, my name is Jeffrey.